Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Wednesday, January the 24th. Absolutely lovely day here in Dallas this afternoon. I think it'll be in the 50s, but sunny. Days like this, you simply cannot complain. This is like San Diego type weather, I guess maybe that's what it is. Today we're going to be chatting about a couple of things going on in the news. I have a post over at the American Thinker that I want to talk about. I've got another one coming out tomorrow, somewhat related to the same topic, having to do with the consequences of the shutdown and some divisions within the Democrat Party that are becoming apparent. They always existed, but I think they're really coming out because of the shutdown. But I've got to begin with this topic about the FBI. I'm sure all of you are following the story of these two people who were texting each other in the FBI, and they're texting each other and. It's obvious by the stuff they were texting each other that these two people didn't like President Trump. And I guess that's okay. You know, we live in a free country. You can like whoever you like. But when you are investigating President Trump or you're participating in the investigation of the emails or whatever, or Mrs. Clinton's emails, then it does become a little bit more complicated when you're putting out political opinions like that. And you're participating in an investigation is sort of like having a member of a jury who's out there writing opinions about the person who's under trial. I mean, that's not something that would be tolerated in a courtroom. I'm sure the defense attorney would call for that person to be removed from the jury immediately. And that's the problem, that I think this has become a real embarrassment at the very least to the Mueller investigation, potentially a lot more than that. And potentially it could be a signal, and there's all kinds of, you know, all kinds of theories out there as to what this is all about. And I don't want to jump on any of them until I see this thing develop a little bit more. But there's potentially here what they call a secret society. I think those were the words they were using, of people who were trying to disrupt the election and then the presidency of President Trump. And I think that's extremely dangerous. One of the beauties of the United States is that somehow we could always separate the enforcement of the law from politics. If you look at a lot of third world countries, what makes them third world countries very often is that the enforcement of the law becomes very political. So the people in power basically go back and take it out against the people who were there before, and then they do it again when they come back in. We haven't had that problem. I'm not saying that it's a perfect system. I'm sure some things over here and there and over time were politically used. But overall, I think the FBI has always been a very professional organization involved exclusively in the enforcement of the law. And I believe 99% of the agents are that way. But we're not talking here about the agency. We're not talking here about the agents who are out there doing a great job. We're talking about certain people like these two who are texting each other and perhaps potentially some people in the leadership. So this has to be investigated. I mean, the American people have got to be, you know, have got to feel safe or have got to be assured that the enforcement of the law is not driven by politics. And I think that over the next few weeks, my guess is that this is going to hit the fan. You know, if I could just put it that way, unless I'm totally wrong and completely misreading this, I think this is going to hit the fan. And this is going to be a very, very hotly debated. Now, the media is not covering this, which is interesting. What they like to call the mainstream media is not covering this. Fox News is, a lot of the talk radio is, and a lot of the websites are. And I think, frankly, given how segmented the news coverage is, I mean, look, if you're not watching CNN, you know, that's okay. I mean, there's lots of other places to get this information from. But again, I go back to my main point. The FBI cannot be political. If it's political, then the United States is just another third world country. And that's simply not something that we can afford to have. I have a post over at the American Thinker, How Not to Do a Shutdown, where I talk about the total blunder of Senator Schumer in doing this. Blunder in the sense, number one, he picked the wrong topic. You know, I think the DACA is not the kind of issue that you want to shut down the government for. But more than that, he didn't have his people with him. Many Democrats decided not to go along for one simple reason. That is, I think many of these Democrats in what are called red states or difficult reelection states for many of these Democrats, they simply didn't want to have to deal with it. They didn't want to have to answer the question, you know, why are you closing the military? Why are you freezing military pay, but at the same time fighting for DACA members? And I just don't think they wanted to touch that subject. And that's why six of them decided not to go along. So when you're divided and you're in a difficult situation, it's very difficult to fight your battles. And that's what happened to Senator Schumer. Now, I have a post coming out tomorrow where I talk about divisions within the Democrat Party. And I think you're beginning to see a clear division here between what I would call the Party of Los Angeles, which is more liberal, more to the left on issues like abortion and gender equality or transgender and all that kind of stuff, as well as immigration. I think you're seeing a divide here between that party of Los Angeles and the party in the center of the country. There's a very interesting article at Politico where they're talking about the Democrats in the center of the country, the rural areas of the country, are just throwing up their arms. They're pulling their hair. You know, they're basically saying you're killing us because they're making it very difficult to compete in parts of the country that are more conservative and frankly more interested in the economy than, you know, transgenders or whatever. And that's the problem. And I think you're seeing this division. And I believe this is going to get even more complicated for Senator Schumer, because many of these Democrats in the center of the country, some senators, they don't want to run for reelection. They don't want to run for reelection, basically saying that they approved DACA without any conditions. I think many of them want DACA, but with conditions that can be explained to many of their voters in places like Montana, North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, West Virginia, and Alabama, and so on. So I think these divisions are going to grow, and they're going to get even tougher for Senator Schumer to manage the Democrats in the Senate. In the House, it's pretty much a done deal in the House, in the sense that I think that the Democrat districts are pretty liberal. But when you're dealing with the Senate, of course, you're dealing with an entire state. And that makes it more difficult for some Democrats running in what they call these red state situations. Well, let's talk a little bit about my good friend Carlos Guedes. You know, one of the things that we do here on the show is that we play his music. We play it at the beginning of the show, and we play it in the background. We play it in the end. Carlos is from Venezuela, and he plays all over Dallas. I mean, this is one of the great things. He's everywhere. And I'm going to recommend that you check out his website as well as his Facebook page, because he's all over. And you can see there almost on a daily basis where he's going to be playing. Lately, he's been playing at a lot of different restaurants where you can go in and have a wonderful meal, have a wonderful lunch, have a wonderful dinner, whatever it may be, and enjoy his music. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely great. That background music, he plays a harp, as you've heard on some of our recordings, and he does a great job, just an absolutely great job. So check out his Facebook page. It's Carlos and then Guedes, G-U-E-D-E-S, Carlos Guedes. Check out his Facebook page, and you'll be able to see updates, daily updates, of where he's playing around the Dallas area. This is January 24th, and we remember a couple of interesting things that happened on this day. First of all, Neil Diamond, we want to say happy number 77. To Neil Diamond, one of the great performers of the last 40 or 50 years. By the way, I also heard that Neil Diamond is having some type of physical problems and has decided to stop touring. which is a shame because I understand, I never got to see him in concert, but I understand he's a wonderful performer, puts on some great shows. I've seen some of his concerts on video, and indeed, they're very interesting. But we say number 77, happy number 77 to Neil Diamond, one of the great performers of our generation. And on this day, January 24th, 1965, Winston Churchill passed away. And, you know, we've done some shows lately about Winston Churchill when we were doing our series about World War II with Barry Jacobson, as well as, you know, the review that I did recently of that movie, The Darkest Hour. And I would recommend that you make a point of seeing that movie, The Darkest Hour. I believe the movie is up for nominations. I'm not really up to speed on the Oscars or, you know, what they win and all of that. I'm not really, that's not something I follow on a regular basis. But I can tell you the movie, The Darkest Hour, is just a great movie. And it's about, obviously, Winston Churchill at one of his toughest moments of his life when he became Prime Minister of England in May of 1940, and then he led the country during World War II. It was just an amazing example of executive leadership. And I've always, you know, people have always asked me, gee, you know, how can I get to know more about Winston Churchill? And I always suggest a couple of things. Number one, there's a great movie that came out in the early 1970s called Young Winston, which is a pretty good look at his life. I think it covers his childhood up to maybe his late 20s. When he was engaged in battle in the African or the South Africa part of the continent. And that's a great movie because you kind of get to meet the young man. You know, he was a dashing kind of young man, you know, very confident kind of young man. And that's where you get to meet, I think, you see the personality of Winston Churchill that we saw later as Prime Minister. Young Winston, that would be a great movie to watch if you want to have a little quick story of Winston Churchill. There are other movies too, obviously. The new one, The Darkest Hour. There's another one called The Gathering Storm, which is a very good movie as well. Now, of course, if you're really into reading, and I would certainly recommend that you read as well as watch the movies, there are probably, I don't know, I mean, there must be a dozen biographies of Winston Churchill. He has to be one of the most, more books. I don't know that there's anybody else. Maybe Lincoln. Maybe Lincoln is the only other person who I think has more books about him. But Winston Churchill, I mean, there's a ton of books. And you can pretty much pick anyone you want. There was one by a fellow named Manchester. I think it's called The Last Lion. And that's a great biography of Winston Churchill. I remember reading that a long time ago. But then if you're really ambitious and you want to read more about the man, you can always read his own books. I mean, one of the things about Winston Churchill that a lot of people don't know is that he wrote a great deal himself. I mean, he wrote a series of books about World War II. He wrote a volume, I think five volumes, of books called The History of the English-Speaking People. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating. And one of the books has to do with the United States, of course, where he writes about the, you know, the English experience in the United States. And then, of course, the United States becoming its own country and then the Civil War. One of the things, anytime you read a book by Winston Churchill, is sometimes you'll get some maps in the books. You know, he takes you, shows you the location of some of the places that he's writing. So Winston Churchill, who died on this day in 1965, he was born in 1874, so he lived close to 90 years, almost 90 years, and he was just an amazing person. To me, one of the greatest, one of the absolutely greatest people of the 20th century, certainly in the top five. It's hard to think who else would have been more prominent, particularly figures of the West, you know, the great World War II figures, Churchill, FDR, Eisenhower, Truman, all of those great figures of the war. He's got to be up there with many of them. So Winston Churchill, man, you if you have a chance, just learn more about him. He's going to fascinate you. The more you read about him, the more you learn about him, the more you're going to continue building your education about Winston Churchill. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.